Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Tom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Hey, welcome in, everyone. Thanks for joining us here, the Education Parenting Show. Kathy Gano, First Lady of Education, will be along shortly. But I had the opportunity to speak with Brad Thor, America's great thrower writer, this week, and I'm bringing him to town with you, the next in our speaker series. Really enjoy this every year. Last year we had him here. It was fabulous. We're at the Media Theater, 7 p.m. this Thursday, July 13th. Get your tickets now. Go to cbsphilly.com/speakerseries, cbsphilly.com/speakerseries. Here is the most recent interview I did just a few days ago with Brad Thor. Brad Thor is with us. Scott Harvath is with us. And Brad is in the center of the Christie meme. Hey, Brad, welcome back to Philadelphia, and kudos to Governor Christie helping you out.
It's a Photoshop.
I know. They Photoshop use of force right into Christie's hand. A beer might have been more appropriate. How did that happen?
Oh, somebody sent me that. It's very funny. They said the only thing that Christie is missing in his beach is a good read, and he said, stand by. And he said, watch your inbox. And he sent that to me. I thought it was absolutely hysterical. But what's funny is, so James Rosen at Fox reaches out to me, and he's like, hey, Brad, this looks like a Photoshop. Is it? And I'm like, yeah. And CNN calls me, is this a Photoshop? Yes. Everybody else, though, thinks it's legit.
Well, that's
nobody
good.
Checks.
That's good. We're glad the big man did that. The others had beers in their hand. But certainly, everybody knows what would be the beach read that Christie or any sane person would have. It would be Brad Thor's brand new use of force.
Absolutely. The perfect summer read. There you go.
Well, I wonder if our artists for our upcoming shameless plug July 13th event with Brad Thor, if we can get a montage of Christie in the beach chair. People would love it, and holding use of force.
Absolutely. It'd be fantastic, and I'm happy to send you mine if your guy wants.
Oh, yeah. Send it to me. Would you send it to me at Dom's show at AOL, Brad? And hopefully, we got to have some fun with that. I loved it when I saw that yesterday. All right, now, I told you, my wife is a teacher, Brad, and this year we'll be able to attend. Usually, she's in school and all that. And she's brought insight to it, to me, reading your book, second book she's read, that maybe I skipped over with Scott Harvath. She made this remark the other day, I wrote it down, that your main character that's legendary is a killer, second to none for the good, but he's also a guy with a heart. In this book, he avoids killing goats that are part of the scene and a breastfeeding woman.
Well, I think it's important. And actually, the woman is a refugee with a group of refugees in a very bad situation with a really bad smuggler that's actually based on reports of a very, very bad guy out of Libya. And so what I was trying to do is show a little bit of humanity. I mean, the books are fun, right? They're short
right.
cinematic chapters, and there's a lot of action. I take you up right up to the edge of the special operations and intelligence communities and let you peer over the fence to see what they do. But, you know, my goal here, you want Indiana Jones to be the same or James Bond at the end of the movie. You don't want them to have completely done a 180. So what I try to do to keep the books exciting and fresh is to reveal a little bit more of exactly what your wife said, of that humanity. And that humanity is reflected in all of the SEALs I know, the Delta Force guys, people at the FBI, the CIA. These are good people that are out doing some of the nation's most dangerous business. So when you write an action thriller, I think it's interesting to actually get a little peek at what makes these people tick, because it makes them more relatable. You and I can understand them better.
I hear you. I would have glossed over that, though. So, you know, again, we talked the last time, female readers are a core of Brad Thor. Just brought a different thing toward it. Now, talk about how much these things are ripped from the headlines. And is your predictive ability of where your characters are going and what the year's book will be based upon the reports you're getting with all your buddies and all these counterintelligence and all that stuff?
Well, number one, I think we've already seen what the very disturbing new trend is over in Europe, which is these attacks on soft targets, driving a car into a crowd, things like that, pulling out just kitchen knives and going after defenseless people. So what you've seen with the machete attack at the Louvre and the hammer attack at Notre Dame and then the attacks on Westminster and London Bridges, not to mention the bomb that the guy did at the Ariana Grande concert in Manchester, we're going to be seeing a lot more of these. And what worries me is if we're going to start seeing them more and more here in the United States. So we had San Bernardino, we had the Pulse nightclub in Orlando. Those are the kinds of things that we need to be on the lookout for. But we also need to be better as a nation at combating the ideology that fuels these. So every drop of Western blood that gets spilled, we ought to be wringing huge concessions out of the Muslim world. So the next time one of these happens, whether or not there's a connection to Saudi Arabia, we should be forcing Saudi Arabia into greater reforms in their country, whether it's women being able to fully drive and vote, whatever, because the totalitarian Islamic ideology thrives where there's totalitarianism. So if there's liberty forced upon the Muslim world, it's going to help drive out this terrible ideology. So every drop of blood that gets spilled, we should absolutely force a concession out of the Muslim world.
Well, exactly. Do you see Saudi Arabia as the capital of this problem?
I think it is. I think the Saudis fund so much of it through Wahhabism, the sect of Islam that is kind of the evil fertilizer at the root of all this stuff. So, number one, I think, yes, I think the Saudis need to be, you know, they're quote-unquote an ally, but they're fueling so much of this terrible terrorism. And I also feel we have zero tolerance when it comes to child pornography. So the gateway drugs for jihadism, we should also have zero tolerance for. You talk to any good, peaceful Muslim person, which is the majority around the world, they don't want beheading videos, and they hate the hate sermons. So why do we allow people to surf the web and look at these things and slowly take these on-ramps to jihadism? We should treat it like child pornography. And by the way, if a guy who's planning an attack even so much as spends the night on your couch, you ought to go away to prison, not for years, but for decades. We should make the price so painful and so high that we don't ever sit back again and say, oh, the guy was on the FBI's radar. Sorry they couldn't do more. Because that's what we're hearing in Europe, too. They know who these guys are, but they don't have enough to convict. Let's bring the prosecutorial bar down and make it easier to nail these guys.
I would agree with all that. So is it your sense, and you talk to more guys than I can possibly bring on off the record and all that, that we do have the capability to infiltrate what they're doing in the internet, but we're not doing it for some reason?
No, the fact is that with all the encryption stuff, and this is the big civil liberties argument, where what are you willing to trade off security-wise, what are you willing to trade off freedom-wise for security? So the problem, we nailed a ton of Al-Qaeda plots and got these guys because these chuckleheads were going on the internet and trying to find a co-conspirator to build a bomb with. Well, the Al-Qaeda guys really got nailed again and again and again for that. ISIS tells them don't do that, and ISIS directs them, first and foremost, try not to use any other people you don't know, and number two, stay off the open internet. They're very crafty with the encrypted chat rooms and stuff like that. So the encryption is difficult to break, and it is a manpower issue, Dom. We've got open ISIS investigations in all 50 states. We're drowning, as are our partners in Great Britain and in Brussels and in France and in Germany. There's too many of these plots and not enough law enforcement, and I don't want to live in a police state where every single thing I do gets monitored. So again, I think we erode our own liberties in pursuit of security, and I think we should be tougher, like I said, nail these guys a lot earlier for these gateway drugs, these on-ramps to jihadism.
Well put. Now let me ask you, the favorite part of Use and Force for Brad Thor that you really enjoyed writing, it's new, fresh in your mind, it helped keep you freshening up on this, what did you really enjoy in this book?
Well, I'll tell you, I don't want to give away what the ultimate attack methodology is, but it is something that once an attack like that gets launched, there's no putting the bullet, so to speak, back in the gun.
Okay.
And I think that, for me, was the most interesting. As I researched this and I talked to people and they said, Thor, you really going to put that in the book? And I said, well, it's not anything that's not out there. So I'm not giving the bad guys ideas. But it is fascinating. And I have to tell you, Dom, I met the nicest person. The Rome bureau chief for the Daily Beast has written all these articles about the connections between ISIS and the Sicilian mafia. And it was fascinating. And she helped on this book. That was my other favorite part, was doing the research and having such a kind person share with me what she's seeing in Europe with the infiltration of ISIS.
That's kind of counterintuitive, though. The mob in the past, you know, and listeners probably know, remember how they kept the New York shipyards in World War II. They kept out of there those elements. They saw themselves as proud Americans. But the Sicilian mob?
Yeah, and well, you and the Neapolitans and the Calabrians as well, they are actually helping with, you know, exchanging. The big thing is the jihadist tomb raiders who are stealing these priceless antiquities from Libya and Iraq and Syria, selling them or trading them to the Italian mafia for guns and explosives and all sorts of things. And the Italian mafia's only caveat is you can't use them in Italy. So they want to push this stuff up into Europe, but they're happy to take drugs, they're happy to take money and antiquities in exchange for weapons and safe passage for terrorists.
Wow. All right. That is, that's definitely new stuff to me. Brad, I can't tell you how thrilled we are, too, and I don't know how you turn out a book a year. That's what the goal was, and I read somewhere, you're as soon as the tour is over, you'll be writing right away.
Absolutely. I'm going to be seeing you July 13th, I believe it is. We're going to get together at 7 p.m., and I think, where are we? Are we at the Fox?
No, we're at the Media Theater.
Media Theater, correct.
Yes.
Okay, the Media Theater, and that's in, Media, Pennsylvania.
Media, so, Pennsylvania, great spot. You'll love it. Great places to eat there, too, if you have the time. We love to do that.
Yep, so best part of the tour. This is the fun stuff, and then I'm back chained to my desk writing next year's thriller.
Well, Brad, 8 days from now, we'll have you chained there with the interview. It was tremendous last year. You really deliver, and the book, too. And what I love, too, is sharing this with my wife this time. She has 10 designated questions I must ask.
Okay, perfect.
That's part of it.
It'll keep it interesting, and also we'll have some fun. I'll make sure to get that Chris Christie on the beach.
Oh, yeah.
Please, the book to you.
domshow@AOL.com. Thank you, Brad. See you in a brief time.
Okay, buddy.
All right, as I said, Brad Thor is a fabulous interview. You get to meet him. Roe will be there with us. Media Theater is a great spot. Fellow listeners will take your questions and mine, and a signed autographed copy of the book. So what are you waiting for? Get your tickets now. Go to cbsphilly.com/speakerseries, cbsphilly.com/speakerseries. Coming up, the First Lady of Education, Kathy Gana. She's here with her tips of the week. Okay, everybody. I know we're in the throes of summer, but let's bring in the First Lady of Education, Kathy Gana, because summer is a time she's preached all the years I've been working with her, where you can do some subtle things that make a real difference. Here's Kathy Gana with us with her tips of the week. Kathy, what do you have this week?
Hi, Dom. Yes, subtle difference. That's what we're actually talking about today on a different area that sometimes people forget. Students and kids in school land, one thing that affects them very much is that word divorce. And I've listened to hundreds and hundreds of children over the years talk to me about divorced parents and what they're feeling and what's happening, and there's a book there somewhere. So I have learned over the years that it doesn't matter. The divorce is not what kills the kids. It's what happens after the divorce and right before the divorce. And you know, I have kids that are very, very wise. They listen and they listen, and they children don't miss a beat of anything around them, even if they look like they're on that iPad and concentrating. So one of the kids about 5-6 years ago said something to me for the first time that he said, yeah, some kids aren't divorced, but I'm divorced as well as my parents. And I said, tell me what you mean by that. And he said, because as soon as they separated, neither one of them really wants me anymore. You know, they love having the time to themselves, and they feel that after all the bad stuff they went through for the divorce, they deserve time to themselves, and I feel like I'm a bother to to them.
Brutal.
When I'm there. It is brutal, and not all families do that. Many, many fathers especially, there are parents that are divorced where the father has a child, and we've had that many times. And I will say that of the two, the kids whose mother leaves go through something wild. It's just the way society is. We haven't changed. 2017. I don't think it ever will. A father goes away, and the child seems to feel that they don't have some kind of scarlet letter on them that my mom left me. And the ones whose mother goes away, the children just really have trouble cycling out of the downward spiral. So that's something that most families probably know, but it is something that affects the child terribly in school. And again, raising awareness of the teachers out there listening, That's something that can affect a child overnight or slowly. But look out for those kids and try to find out if there's a divorce situation, what happened, who's the child with. We have children more and more every year with grandparents where father's in one situation and mom's in another, and neither one of them have raised them except the grandparent. So then we have to work a lot on forgiving them for just being little kids that happen to grow older and they, you know, made some poor choices. Because the forgiveness piece really does have to happen before the re-loving, as I call it, you know, learning to love again or allowing themselves to be loved by the parents that didn't raise them. So there's so much involved with a student who does poorly that that's why I say there's always a reason when a child's not doing well, either behavior-wise or academically, and go under all the nonsense that the kid's talking about. Oh, I can't drive. Mm-hmm. It won't let me drive. Or my mom won't let me go here for the summer, and this won't happen. And all the good stuff that the child needs to work on is under all that. So if you're a good mentor in a child's life and he or she's not talking to the parents, sometimes after you listen to the venting, try to get the kid to go underneath all of that a little bit as to what they're really feeling. And if they feel that you understand that part, many of them will privilege you with with sharing. So, and what you can give a child as a mentor is just beyond what most of us think, that how we can touch children's lives and each other's lives. So I'll give a few little tips for the summer over the years that I've found help out a little bit. If the divorce is bad, just ask people for prayers, because the less talk, the better. And that's a lot of work for either parent if the divorce is really difficult. But if it's good or okay, then give the teens a little less choice. A lot of times I'll say, did you get to your dad's for a week? Yeah, you know, my mom said it was up to me. And it's just less work to stay at home. So they stay at home in their rooms with their iPads. And with less choice, they would at least be in the vicinity of their other parents, learning a little bit more about them. So I understand that as kids get older, sometimes if the situation's not good, they need to make a better choice. But sometimes it's okay, and the kid just, you know, teenagers, we all know, we're all lazy, but teenagers can outdo us sometimes. So it may be okay that they didn't go, but the more they don't see the parent, they forget that it might have been their fault in the summer because they didn't feel like going over for the weekend or whatever. But the smaller things trigger the fact that they don't have parents. They could be looking at a movie at school or on their own, or one of the kids is talking about what they're doing for vacation, and you just watch the other child's face, and it goes through such a deluge of emotions. So it does matter, no matter what they say. Every child wants to have parents that love them. And every child wants to have parents that feel that they can love the parent, even if the parent makes bad decisions. So, and during the school year, I'll tell you, those dads especially, but moms, if they're out there too, need to know the good grades and the bad grades, behavior, good or bad. The kids have to know that no matter how much mom and dad dislike each other, they're together for the child. And a lot of kids have so many traditions in the summer until divorce happens. So I tell the parents, in a perfect world, if the money and the time is there, the kids should get twice the traditions. Mom does it with them, dad does it with them.
Sure.
And the more years you can keep that up, the better. But I also offer something that a lot of parents say, Kathy, I've tried that once a week family dinner thing, and it just doesn't happen. And breakfast was a big thing in our family as kids got older. So Saturday breakfast, Sunday breakfast. Sometimes that's a lot easier for the kids
who are
hungry, and taking them out to that makes a big difference. So try in the summer to make subtle differences in that word divorce. See if you can get the kids back with the parent that they're not living with all the time. And remember, it's supposed to be blended families in this upscale world of ours, and not destroyed families. So make sure that the grandparents and the aunts and uncles, the kids still get to see them. Many of them lose the rest of dad's family or the rest of mom's family when the divorce happens. And every child deserves to see their both parents' situation and who raised them for good or bad. Doesn't mean they have to stay there forever or by themselves, but those other families, it's a good time to visit to people, even if they seem to be just teenagers that are angry and sit in the back with their iPads, get them over to the family house. So hopefully, you know, parents get to the counselors before, and I still have parents and kids to fight the whole counseling piece, but it can't hurt, and giving it a shot makes so much of a difference. We could all often say if it were suitable time-wise and money-wise, every human could use somebody that's a little bit off of the family there that you can talk to, vent to, and walk away feeling better. So no counseling does any harm, that's for sure. So anyway, I hope we continue with the vacations. And last week I talked about those packets that are out there for the kids to do before school.
Right.
It's after the 4th of July now, and now the summer just zooms ahead. So get the kids started on reading the books and getting the packets, and be less, more peaceful in August.
All righty. Good tips, as always. Thank you, Kathy.
Okay. Have a hope-filled week, everyone. Bye-bye.
Of course, you reach Kathy at 800-300-0003. Don't forget me Monday, 9 until noon with Dom Giordano. And don't forget, we're just a few days away from Brad Thor coming to town. The Thrower Writer, his new book, Media Theater with me, 7 p.m. Thursday night. Get your tickets. Go to cbsphilly.com/speakerseries. cbsphilly.com/speakerseries.
Dom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.